God, asking that you'd open up our hearts and our minds to receive that what you have for us this morning. We ask, Father God, that you would decrease me and that you would increase your Holy Spirit, that your word would go forth with clarity and with power, that it would do those things that you've purposed them to do, some to be encouraged, some to be exhorted, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of you. Oh, we come praying, Father God, for the excellency of the Spirit, that it would rest, rule, and abide upon this place, that we won't leave this place the same way that we came in, but, Lord, we would leave with a greater fire, a greater desire to serve you. Oh, Lord, let us realize how great your love is for us. We come continuously praying, Father God, for the 100 souls that will come this way. We come praying for the 100 souls that don't know you in the pardon of their sins and might be baptized this way. And we promise, Father God, we will be quick and careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. These and all other things we ask and pray in Jesus' mighty name. And we all do say amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen, amen. I'm going to make my excuses now. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to hug and kiss you all as I normally do. I'm a little bit under the weather, and I didn't want to share my sickness and disease with you. Amen, amen. That's all right, because I don't want you to share yours with me. Amen. That's one of the things you can keep to yourself, right? We talk about your time, your talent, and your treasure, but your sickness you can keep. With that being said, turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 6. And we'll read verses 6 through 10. Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. If you got your Bibles, wave them in the air. I haven't done it in a minute. Those of you who don't, shame on you. You can't tell the players without a program. Amen. When you have it, say amen. Amen. You all are in good voice, probably far better than me. So this morning, if I sound more like Isaac Hayes than myself, you know. See, only y'all would get that, right? All right. It reads on this wise. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I read to you Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and doing of his holy word. And just for a few moments of your time, we just want to talk about it's always sowing season. It's always sowing season. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, those of you who have attended our Wednesday night Bible study, and I thank you all who have come all last year, a good part of last year, we covered Galatians, did we not? Amen. And we went I won't say all the way through because we skipped parts of chapter 1. Who knows? Maybe we might go back and cover it. I don't think so. But who knows? The pastor may sit up and write a book and then put it and publish it. But Amen. At that time, we ain't publishing nothing no time soon. So, but with that being said, we've covered this before, so it's really nothing new to you who have spent time in Bible study with me. I also want to look my unashamed plug for Wednesday night Bible study. Some things have happened, and so although the start date was March 6th, I have moved the start date up to February 27th. So come February 27th, we will have a Bible study at 2 p.m. and Bible study again at 7 p.m. And, of course, that 7 p.m. Bible study is forwarded by our prayer and amen. Thank God for prayer. And that is faithfully led by our own Deacon Lawson. Amen. And so if nothing else, you come for prayer meeting. Well, no, if you come, then you might as well stay for all of it, right? So 2 o'clock, 2 p.m. on the 27th of February, which I believe is a Wednesday, we will begin the 2 p.m. Our 2 p.m. Bible study as well as our 7 p.m. And that's just so that those of you who can't drive at night or ain't got no business out at night, because some folk ain't got no business out at night. Amen. And that just ain't old folk. You know, that's some of you young folk. I ain't got no business out at night. All you gonna get, especially Saturday, all you gonna do is either be late for church or get in trouble. But those of you who have followed me through the Wednesday night Bible study, we have already covered these verses. But however, because this is our stewardship month, we are again looking at this chapter. And here it is, Paul, who is the apostle who has written this particular letter to the church, and actually it's not necessarily a church, but it's to the area, the surrounding area of Galatia. And that also encompasses several other smaller cities, Iconium being one. But with that being said, this is a letter that was generally written to them. And the majority of the letter really has to do with the individuals who are called the Judaizers. And these Judaizers, for the most part, they were Christians. But they were Jewish Christians who believed that you had to keep the law in addition to whatever dictates that God or that Jesus had already put out in pronouncements in terms of what it is that he wanted from them. And so they found themselves, and Paul writes this very impassioned letter telling them that don't be slaves to the law. There's no need to be slaves to the law because you can't keep the law. And so he says there's a better way made, and his name is Jesus. And because you've believed in Jesus, because you've believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved. So you no longer have to keep the law, but the law that was written is now written on your heart. And so what Paul here is saying is that you don't have to keep the festival. You don't have to keep the booths. All that has already been taken care of by Jesus Christ. And so all that Christ desires of you is a pure heart and to be obedient to his word. So now after Paul has written this letter, he comes towards the back end of the letter. Now, I won't say that this is a postscript per se, but everything that the apostle has to say is important. And so for our purposes today, Paul in these few verses does talk about what we're to do with our time, our talent, and our treasure. He says, first of all, in verse 1, that let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. First, what we want to talk about is sow good things into your pastor. Sow good things into your pastor. Amen. Amen. This word communicate is basically, it can be rendered, and it is rendered in other readings as share with. Now, you're to share with, we're to share with one another. You're to share with your church. And all I'm, and most of the times, and what I've been trying to do over the series of these sermons is to get you to expand your thought in regards to your tithes and your offerings to go beyond what's just in your pocket. Because God requires more of you than the money in your pocket. God requires that you give him some of your time. God requires that you give him of some of that wonderful talent. Matter of fact, my wife is not with me today because her and her sisters are out doing their ministry. She will be in Palm Springs, and she's going to be singing at a convention. But with that being said, that is her talent. And she uses her talent for the greater glory of God. Here in this text, we find that Paul says that you ought to sow into your pastor. Well, Paul, why would we want to sow into your pastor? I'm glad that you asked. Simply put, Paul says, love on the man of God. Amen. Love on him. The man who's calling, and it is his obligation to teach you and to preach unto you. Some things that he has to say to you aren't good to hear in the natural, but it's good for you in the spiritual. It's just like when your parents used to talk to you and they would tell you not to do And you like, well, what I got to do? Your jaw be all tight and you be looking like you ready to do something, but you ain't gonna do it because you better not, because there's a boomerang shoe or there's a flying fist. But you received it. And so that's all the man of God asked. That the man of God is not going to give you anything, hopefully. The man of God is not going to give you anything that he doesn't believe or that God doesn't believe that it is good for you. We ought to take care of the man of God. Love on him. He don't want to hurt your feelings, but sometimes he got to hurt your feelings. Amen. Because everything you do ain't good. You know what? I tell my kids this all the time. I say, your best friends tell you when your breath stinks. Amen. Your best friends tell you when your breath stinks, because other folk, they just be like, ooh. And then they let you walk away, and then they talk bad about you after you left. But your friends will tell you when your breath stinks and you got B.O. Amen. Why? Because when you have that type of relationship, I'm not worried about the surface. I'm worried about what's in you. Part of my job as your pastor is to lead you, to feed you, to tend to you, to defend you, and to model Christian behavior. Amen. Part of that modeling process is that I have to act in such a way that you would want to follow. Yeah, he said some hard stuff, but you know what? He living it, and it's right. Amen. Yeah, he say we ought to go that way, but you know what? It's kind of hard. Well, guess what? Anything worth doing ain't easy.
That's right. That's
right. I know asking for 100 new members is not easy. It requires some work. Amen. It requires that we actually have some smiles on our faces.
Yeah.
It requires that we treat our visitors well. It requires that if you don't know somebody or you hadn't seen them in a while, that you acknowledge their presence. I was telling the deacons today, I said, you know what? Even though I'm looking out at the congregation, I can't see everybody in the congregation. There are certain faces and voices, notice I said voices, certain faces and voices that I can hear and thank God for that, but I can't register everybody's face in here. They were saying that some time ago Sister Hildreth had come through, and I hadn't seen her. And, you know, my thing is this. If I ain't seen you in a minute, I'm looking for you. Amen. Part of my job as your pastor is to come look for you when I don't see you.
Amen.
And if I can't find you, then I'm going to send some deacons. Don't laugh.
Amen.
Because their job is to help me find you. Don't you know that big flocks have not only shepherds, but they have under-shepherds? Because although the sheep know the shepherd, the shepherd can't lay hands on all of them. You know, when you're doing that count and you come up short one, somebody say, well, where is sheep number? We don't even put a number on you. We just give you names. Amen. Where's Laurie? I know we ain't got nobody here named Laurie. Where's Laurie? Oh, let me lock the others up. And then we start looking for Lori. Amen.
Amen.
And if I can't find you, then I'm going to find two more under shepherds, and they're going to help me look for you.
Amen.
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 Amen. Sow into your pastor. Sow into your pastor by loving on him, not only love on him, but then pray for him.
Yes.
I'm saying P-R-A-Y. Don't pray on him, P-R-E-Y.
Right.
Amen. You got it? All right, because some of y'all went to L.A. Unified. I can't talk about L.A. Unified because I graduated from L.A. Unified.
Me too.
Pray for your pastor.
Amen.
Because if your pastor is having a difficult and hard time, don't you know that translates down to you? That means if the head is sick, then the rest of the body is sick too. Amen. You have to pray for the head. My job is to lead. I can't lead if I'm sick. Now, I came today. I'm all wrapped up. I brought my level one combatant with me in case I can't drive home. You know, that when she came home with that term, I'm going, level one combatant. You know, and then I realized that the two most dangerous people in my house is my wife and my daughter. Pray for your pastor. But if the head is sick, then the body has no choice but to be sick as well. This is advised because false teachers will come in among the church. That's the reason why I spend the time that I spend in Bible study. That's the reason why I believe that we should increase it. That's the reason why I want to exponentially, I like that word, exponentially grow the number of teachers that we have here. I would be pleased as punch if everybody in here could go and teach a class. A church's sending ability should be better than its seating ability. In other words, we ought to be able building up people to send them out into the world to make disciples of other people. But the only way that you can do that is that if I do my job, I have to prepare so I can prepare you. I have to study so that you might know what to study. I have to be in prayer so that you know what to pray for. That's why we spent the whole month of January working on fasting and praying. What does that look like? What does my journaling look like? Why? I'm expanding. I want to expand what you think in regards to prayer, what you think in regards to our vision across what it is that we're to do. We've been called to a great and mighty work, and I just haven't been called to it by myself. You have a part to play as well. Remember now, when we talk about the time that you invest, we talk about time, we talk about your talent, and we talk about your tithe. I ain't going to be one of those preachers that say, you know what, I ain't giving that money to that man. You go ahead and think that if you want. But in the olden days, as a matter of fact, Brother Love, bless your heart, where are you at? Brother Love, I asked a question at his post of duty, bless your heart. I asked a question in Bible study the other day in regards to the tithe, and I thought that I was going to either get one answer from Brother Reader, and all of a sudden, Brother Love came up with the answer. And then he said, I got the answer while I was studying at lunch. Amen. He's studying the Word of God at lunch on a sermon that I preached. I don't know about you. You know, some folk would feel kind of like, oh, wow, they listening to my sermons and they checking behind me. I want you to listen to my sermon. I want you to check behind me. I need you to come and challenge me, because you know what? That's the only way that iron sharpens iron.
That's right.
Amen. Glory be to God. Wool don't sharpen iron. Iron sharpens iron. I need y'all to know for yourself. Look, if nothing else, if you walk away from Bible study, at least you can say, well, he read the verses well. Sow into your pastor. Pastor don't necessarily want or need your money, although I appreciate the money. Amen. I would appreciate, though, if you feed into me. What do you mean by that? Tell the pastor how much you appreciate him. Tell your pastor, we thank God for you. Tell your pastor, you did a good job this Sunday. Now, you don't have to say it every Sunday. And believe you me, that does a world of good for me. Yeah. I remember a conversation I had with a member, and she was saying, thank you for telling me the difference between joy and happiness. And I'm sitting there going, well, it wasn't really anything that we were focused on. It just came up in the sermon. But that you never know what can be said that might move on somebody to help them understand or get them a better understanding of what it is that the Word of God is trying to get across to them. At that point in time in their life, they needed to know the difference between happiness and joy. Hallelujah. And that happiness is simply based upon what happens to you. Yeah. I can make you happy. I can make you unhappy. It all depends on what I do to you. But joy is a condition. No matter what happens to you, you have joy. Why? Because the world didn't give it to you, and the world can't take it away. Yeah. I've got joy,
hallelujah,
joy unspeakable.
Yeah.
Not only should you sow into your pastor, but then you should sow with the mindset that what you sow will grow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that so he also will reap. Notice here in the verse, it doesn't say if it will grow. It might grow. It says it's going to grow. We are some good farmers in the sense that whatever you plant is going to grow. Now, I'm not going to talk about my yard, but I'm going to talk about my yard. In my yard, it's green now, but it wasn't always green. But I've got some hardy plants in my yard. They were brown for a long time. And I was like with the mayor. I was like, okay, mayor, you say don't put no water on it, so I'm good. You know, I'm saving money. All of a sudden, the heavens opened up. Mm-hmm. And what was planted in the ground is turning up green. It took a long time for it to grow up and become green. But guess what? What I thought was dead started growing. And what I thought was grass turned out to be something else. Be careful what you sow. Because no matter how long it sits in the ground, it will grow. And my point to you is this. Many of us have sown things, good things. And some of us have sown some bad things. But God says, don't be mocked. Because he is a God of long suffering.
Yeah.
And what you thought was going to be not going to be a problem, all of a sudden turns up, and you live in a Me Too moment. I ain't got to tell you, right, about the Me Too movement. You know, a lot of folks thought they had done a lot of things and that it had gone away. We signed these non-disclosure agreements, and you're not supposed to disclose. And then all of a sudden they said, you know what, I don't care. I'm going to start disclosing some stuff. And all of a sudden, what you thought that nobody was going to tell, now everybody's telling. And so what you had sown years ago, when you thought that ain't nobody was going to hear about it, that nobody was going to see it, all of a sudden, it's popping up daisies. All of a sudden, some rain came and watered it, and then all of a sudden, it's growing. And it ain't growing grass, it's growing weeds. Everything you sow, whether it be good or bad,
amen,
it's going to have a harvest. So that's why it's always sowing time. Because everything you do will bring back something. Every kind word will grow something. Every unkind word will grow something. Every disaffected individual will grow something. Every happily affected member will grow something. That's how come after every business meeting, I always say, we don't pay no attention to no conversations that happen in the parking lot.
Right.
If you got issues with the church, you need to bring your issues into the business meeting.
Yes,
and then you need to say it to people who can do something about it. Oftentimes, people are hurt because of something that was said to them on a personal level, and now they're looking for a way to hurt folk. You know, there's a saying that says that what? Hurt folk, hurt folk. Hurt people, hurt people. Hurt folk, hurt folk. I like hurt folk better. Why? Because you hurt. And, you know, some people, they'll sit there and they'll nourish it. You know, they'll man, you know what? And they'll be feeding it, you know. Yeah, they bring it out. You know what? It ain't been fed enough. Let me feed it some more.
Huh.
You know, it's not as fat as I would like. Him feed it. You know, and as a matter of fact, it's not growing the way that I like. Let me get some good mulch. You know, and here you are, you feeding your hate, feeding your envy, feeding your jealousy, all that stuff. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap.
Yeah.
It's going to bring adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness. These are the fruits of selfishness. These are characteristics that are unlike the fruits of the Spirit. These things will find their expression in you if you keep sowing bad seed. Not only what you sow will grow, sow good things into your pasture, but then sow into the things of the Spirit. For that he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We got to be careful what we sow. But if you sow your time and your talent and your treasure into the Spirit, not only will the characteristics of God find expression in you, but then you will reap everlasting life. Well, what does that look like? Well, I'm glad you asked. That's why I like preaching to y'all, because y'all ask all the right questions. When you sow into the things of the Spirit, the promise of life and that life more abundantly becomes yours to claim. When you sow into the Spirit, that means that what used to trouble you won't trouble you no more. That means that that which has come against you, you now have some help. You don't have to rely on the uncle or the ship coming in to help you make it through. Why? Because you've got a Father in heaven who says that I'll look out for you. If you pray, I'll incline my ear. I'll hear your prayer. I'll move on your behalf. I'll open doors that were closed. I'll close doors that were open. Right, I will lead you and guide you into all pathways of righteousness. Why? Because you're my child and I care about you. It may not always look good. It may not always sound good. It may not even always come the way that you thought it would come. Yeah. But guess what? It's coming. God has a funny way of blessing us, because when he blesses us, it never comes in the way that you think it would come.
That's right.
You say, well, Lord, I need you to do this for me. And then all of a sudden here comes, you know, Joe the Ragman. And Joe the Ragman, you know, you ain't had but two words to Joe the Ragman, but all of a sudden Joe the Ragman's got something to say to you. And then he starts speaking to you, and then all of a sudden he starts speaking into your life. And then all of a sudden all the things that he's speaking into your life are beginning to resonate with all the things that God has moved in your life about. And so then all of a sudden you realize that Joe the Ragman is actually possibly an angel in disguise. All of a sudden now you want to take Joe the Ragman in your house and cut him a piece of pie. Why? Because the words that he has spoken have blessed your life. Blessings will come in ways and through people who you least likely to expect.
Yeah, that's right.
You must be open to all. That's the reason why. Any soul that walks through here, we better be on our P's and I say you, huh? We better be on our P's and Q's and treat those people like we love them. Amen. You may not feel like loving on anybody. Amen. Today I'm feeling nice and hot.
It's not just you.
And really, I went out of my way not to hug folk because I didn't want y'all to feel like me. But I know that I have a responsibility to love you. I have a responsibility to tend to you. I have a responsibility to defend you. And I thank God for our deacons. I thank God for the men of this church. We had a situation where a couple of our men from the church went out and helped a member. But thank God that the member was a member. Because who else would have came and helped? Who else would have took time out of their day to go spend that day with them and help them get their finances straight, help them get their situation straight, and then to chase off the fellow that was taking advantage of them? Amen. That is why we need to gather ourselves together even more so as we begin to see the day approaching. The devil is going to amp up his attacks as the time comes towards the end. That just makes sense. If I knew that my time was coming up, I'd be busy about my work. The devil is your enemy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. He does not take vacations, nor does he sleep. He is busy at all times in all things. We must always keep a wary eye, not just for the devil, but for one another. Be careful what you sow. Amen. But then when you sow a good harvest, my last point, wait on a good harvest. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but those especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
Amen.
Oftentimes we find it more difficult to do good to those who are our family than it is to be good to a stranger. There are many of us who have family members who do not know Jesus in the pardon of their sins. There are many of us who have family members who will not receive the word of God from us because it's from us. And they have some issue with us. Don't you know that some of the saddest funerals that I've ever had to preside at are those where the family members are weeping the loudest? Because there was an issue between the individual that's in the casket and the individual that's sitting on the front row. And they never reconciled the issue that they had between them. They never said that they were sorry. They never said that, forgive me. They went about their lives fighting over something. And oftentimes it's something simple. There's a story that's told of two brothers. They opened a business, and the first day that they opened the business, the first dollar that came through was they took and they put it on the wall. And so as the business began to thrive and grow, one day the dollar bill was missing. The one brother noticed that the dollar bill was missing and had accused the other brother for taking the dollar bill. The other brother was so upset that he had been accused by his brother that they began to argue. The argument got so bad and feelings got hurt so much that they split the business. And one went one way and the other went the other. And so they were enemies until the death of one of the brothers. And so the other brother went to the funeral. While he was at the funeral, there was a grandchild. And the grandchild says, hey, Grandpa, I found this dollar bill. It was pretty dusty where I found it, but it had been put in a box. Now, I don't know what it means, but it was probably something that belonged to your brother. At which point, the man began to cry. Here it is, years of hate and fighting between one another, and here it is, something that was simply taken off the wall and placed in a box that ended their relationship. They never had the opportunity to say that they were sorry. They never had the opportunity to say, I miss you. They never had the opportunity to rectify what it was that went wrong. They fought and fought. Isn't that true with Jesus? Somewhere along the way, man dropped the ball. Man came up short. Man missed the mark. But God wanted to keep that relationship. Man was wrong. He was so wrong. And God, if he wanted to, he could have just said, you know what, I'm going to start all over. I'm just going to kick him to the curb, and I'm going to make another man, and this man going to be better than that man. But God said, you know what, I love this man so much that I'm going to make a way to reconcile. God gives of his time. He gives of his talent. He gives of his treasure and sends his only begotten son to make right what we got wrong. God didn't care about the dispute in and of itself, but he knew he had to make it right if we could be right with him. So the only way he could make it right is that he would have to allow himself to die for us. God gives of his time. He gives of his talent. He gives of his treasure. That's my sermon. I'm done. It's always sowing season. Sow into your pastor. Be careful what you sow. Sow into good things. And then be prepared for harvest. This is harvest time, y'all.